Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, my radio family. Thank you for joining me. If you caught the broadcast yesterday, I began a message that is going to focus on one verse in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And the Word of God tells us that when Solomon began his reign, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and He said, "Ask whatever you want, and I will grant you this request." He asked for wisdom and understanding to lead the people of God, and God was pleased with that. That was a very important necessity in a practical way to be able to lead the people of God. But David also in Psalm 27 expressed a similar thing. If there was just one thing he could ask of God, one thing he could experience, it was a much greater level, if you will, that went beyond the natural and the physical world and realm, and that was a relationship with God. He said, "I just want to be where you are, Lord. I want fellowship with you." And Psalm 119 and 2 says, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart." So he said, this one thing, that there's an intensity in that verb, one thing I've desired, and that will I seek after. And I shared yesterday, if you heard the broadcast, it's not just enough to want something. Sometimes action is required. And we have to develop a relationship with the Lord. We want to spend time with Him in prayer, in reading the Word and learning about Him, and also in Christian fellowship. We have to do something and not just think, well, you know, this is what I want. But we have, like I said, I gave the example, if you want to lose weight, what are you doing about it? Have you done anything to restrict your current way of eating? Maybe that might have an influence on weight loss. Anyway, so where we are right now is, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And that word is, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's spelled B-A-N-A-H. And the verb form is to build, but in the noun capacity, it means a tent, a hut, a barn, a mansion, a palace, a temple. So it's a place, a dwelling place, if you will. It's a place where things are found. It's the interior of something. It designates family or a household. And while we're so blessed in the days in which we're living in New Testament times, because the people of Israel, if they wanted to really go to the presence of God, they went to the physical temple that was built. It was in Jerusalem, and they would go to the house of the Lord. Well, in New Testament times, we now don't have a physical place we go to. We can assemble in our church families, wherever that may be, but it's not the place. It's not the physical building. We now are the physical temple of the Holy Ghost. Every single believer, when we accept Jesus, He comes to live in our heart, in our spirits. And Paul was trying to make this very clear in his epistles. Especially, he was writing to the Corinthians, and in the beginning of that epistle, 1 Corinthians 3:16, he asks a question. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" See, that's what sanctified, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony in the wilderness and in the temple. That's where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. We now, our physical bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16 says, "For ye are," he's not saying, don't you know it, but now he's making a statement, "ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Remember, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within. It doesn't come by observation. There it is. No, it's something of the spiritual realm. And so, as we look at what this house represented in Old Testament times as well as in New, there were some commonalities, if you will, and that was a place of repentance. David said in Psalm 51, 10 and 11, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He prayed this after the incident with Bathsheba. And so there's none without sin. Now, Paul was very clear of that. Don't ever say, well, I'm sinless. No, you're striving toward that, but we all fall short of the glory. We don't do it purposefully. We don't do it intentionally, but we will, you know, we can lose our temper. But there's all kinds of things we can do. And if we come back to the Lord, he's gracious to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as it says in the Epistle of John. But it's also a place of security and protection. Listen to what David said a little bit further in that Psalm 27, verse 5 and 6. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. He was surrounded, okay? Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And then also, let's go to Psalm 23. He's saying, that beautiful shepherd psalm, he says, thou proceed again, the sense of security and protection. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. All the things that you've blessed me with. Surely, he's saying, absolutely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. So we know that's what's waiting for us in eternity, but even now we will dwell in the house of the Lord. Why? Because he says just a few psalms later, all the days of my life, right? I'm going to dwell there to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Well, we'll get to that. Don't worry. So, okay, here we are. The Lord is with us. We're in the Lord. So after we moved into his house, if you will, and God has moved into house, what then? What do we do? We have our dwelling place. Well, let me ask a question. What motivates you? We're just going to take a little bit of a detour, if you will. Human nature is very interesting, and obviously we need a lot of guidance and direction. Isn't that true? Because even though as children of God, we've been saved, we're dwelling in the kingdom of light, we're not in the kingdom of darkness anymore, yet we have a lot to learn about the Lord. We have a lot of things we have to understand. Our spirit man is perfect. We've been born of God, but our flesh nature has not been converted overnight when we get saved. And so if we look at just the natural state of a man, wow, we're born as a helpless child, and we depend on parents and loved ones to be able to protect us, to feed and nurture us, nourish us, and give us the things that we need as we grow. And so when we are young, and that's true even in the animal kingdom, I've been watching some really great documentaries on animals and how when their babies are born, the parents are so diligent and careful to protect them and to teach them the things they're going to need to know, especially if they're a predator, you know, like a big cat or an African wild dog. The parents are responsible for the success that pup or that kitty are going to have if they learn their lessons well. And so there are external restrictions. There's imposition of rules, things we have to do. Of course, as a child, we tend not to like that. What, the terrible twos, I guess? We want to do it. No, I don't want to do that. I want to, and there's rebellion in the heart of a child, okay? And sometimes we never grow out of it, which is not a good thing. God does not like rebellion. And we have to learn to become a good child. In fact, unless we become as a little child who loves God, we won't even get into the kingdom, Jesus said. That's something to think about. So our childhood, our growing up time, is a time which external restrictions and imposition of rules and discipline are imposed upon us, not for the purpose of restricting our liberty, but to teach us the things that are good for us, that will benefit us as a mature adult. And so, as we grow into maturity and into adulthood, we still have discipline, but hopefully, outside of, you know, like if we're in the military, obviously it's externally imposed, but there is a self-imposed discipline that we acquire in terms of our personal life and habits. That motivation now becomes internal because we've learned it. It's internally generated. And it's very interesting. That's what God did. Remember Paul said the Old Testament, it was our school teacher? Well, that refers to the Old Covenant. There was all kinds of rules they had to follow. Thank God we're not under that system today, but we're under the New Covenant. And if we have the fruit of the love, joy, peace, all the characteristic of Jesus, against such there is no law. There's all kinds of maturity and freedom. But that comes with maturity and understanding the things of God, learning the ways of God, and whatever discipline, it is self-imposed. We really, you know, sometimes if we just are not in a good place, God will have to impose some discipline. But he wants us to learn his ways so we will walk in wisdom. You know, in terms, that's what Solomon asked for, and God granted it. So God is wanting to deliver us, all of his people, who are bound by false perceptions of truth and spirituality and holiness. He wants us to be able to come into the wonderful liberty of the sons and daughters of God. Well, my time has flown, and we'll continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, as also always, I do invite you to write. There's an important spiritual principle in the power of agreement. So I alone will read and answer your mail. I thank you for joining me. I pray for you every day, my natural family, my spiritual family, my radio family, and I'm asking for God's very best to be yours. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.